Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this Saturday, May 25th, 2013. Glad to have in studio AJ Vopel, editor and communications at the MGA. How you doing, AJ?
I'm good, Anthony. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here. It's lousy weather, so no golf this morning.
I'm not sure if it's May, March. I don't know what's going on.
It's really insane.
You know what? It just brings more people into the pleasure of our company and having us on the radio.
Right.
They're home kicking back and having a cup of Joe. Relaxing, and they have us to keep them company.
Yeah, it's perfect timing. It really is.
Excellent. Well, what's going on with you? Everything good at the MGA? I know you've been there a little while. You settling in now? How are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I've been at the MGA for about a year and a half. It's going really well. Just really actually busy this past week. I was over at the Travis on Sunday, which isn't an MGA event, but
right.
I took photos for them and saw the. It was an all MGA final though between Saladino and Miller, and
sure,
that was just. Spectacular to watch. They had about 60 or 70 people following them, and it was a ton of fun. Saladino pulled it off on the third playoff
sure.
hole, and then right from there, Monday, I went to Sabonic for Women's Open Media Day, played the course. It's brilliant, so playable, really fun, and the women are really going to like it, definitely.
Absolutely, yeah. And you are very familiar with our guest coming up in just a minute, Mr. Gene Bernstein from the past president of the MGA, so look forward to talking to him.
Absolutely.
And we're going to take a short break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. In studio, AJ Vopel, editor and communications at the MGA, Metropolitan Golf Association. And on the line is past president of the Metropolitan Golf Association, Mr. Gene Bernstein. Gene, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
How are you doing this morning?
Well, you guys already gave us an update on the weather, so other than that, I'm fine, thank you. How about you?
Doing fantastic, and very excited to have you on the show this morning. You've meant a lot to Long Island golf, and I've tried to celebrate golf on Long Island with this radio show, and I can't think of too many more people that have done it better than you. But before we get to your impact on golf on Long Island, talk a little bit about how did you come to the game of golf?
Well, when I was a young guy, I was a pretty good all-around athlete, but didn't really have any exposure to golf. I believe it was 1959, the U.S. Open was played at Wingfoot. I think that's the year Billy Casper won, and my father took me up there to watch it, and my brother, who's a year younger than me, and we got quite fascinated with it and started going with him to Engineers Country Club, where we belonged at the time in Roslyn Harbor. And I think the following year, my dad and I played on Father's Day. They had like a father-son tournament. And we came in second or third low net, and I was hooked.
And you were officially bit by the bug?
I was officially bit. To have been playing less than a year and coming third in the tournament. And, I just grew from there.
What other sports did you play?
Well, in college, I played a year of Division III football. I play squash, mostly doubles now.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, I was an all-star on the Little League team, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like a jack of all trades, but a master of none. I can play a lot of sports fairly well. In fact, it's kind of funny. I've three times been a runner-up in a golf club championship and twice been a runner-up in a squash championship, but I've never won any of them.
Well, it's just a matter of time. They say the first one is the tough one, you know what I mean? Once you get past that, you'll be all right.
Well, now I can try for a senior.
So I want to jump into the Northville Invitational. I mean, you hear the saying that it takes a village, but I can't imagine what it had take it had taken for you guys to sort of organize to bring the PGA champ, the PGA Tour to Long Island. What was the thinking behind that? Sort of what inspired you to do it and to come up with that idea, and how did you make it happen?
Well, it was a confluence of several things. First of all, we had always had a golf pro-am for customers where we played at Meadowbrook. We had about 15 or 16 foursomes, and the pros were local club pros who, you know, we paid, I don't know what it was back then, $500, and so you'd have a club pro and three of our customers, in a grouping. 1986, the U.S. came back to Long Island at Shinnecock and was a rousing success. And at the same time, Long Island was suffering a really kind of a public image black eye. There had been some church scandal, I forget the name now, some secretary, Jessica Hahn, I think it was involved with some, and she was from Long Island.
Right, yes.
Was involved with some very popular evangelical church leader, and
yes.
They were having an affair, and this was all over the paper. And you guys may be too young, but we had a huge barge to remember this. It was full of garbage from Long Island that
floated around.
Was going up and down the East Coast.
Yeah, it had no home.
It had no place to offload the product. And,
right.
Shoreham Nuclear Power Plant was going through probably the pinnacle of its bad press when it was shut down, and Long Island had basically blown, well, Lilco had a company, $7 billion with a B, and it was sort of a laughingstock. So it was all this negative stuff, and we thought, gee, Long Island's got a great history of golf tournaments. Back in the teens and the 20s and 30s, there were a lot of national championships played here. Yep. And the Open was a big success. And why don't we see if we can do something that'll be good for Long Island? It will help us raise money for our philanthropic budget. And it will give people a good sense of proud of being on Long Island. So that's kind of how we got it started. We interviewed two sports managing companies. One was IMG, the other was a company called ProServe that was primarily in the field of tennis, but was looking to get into the field of golf, and we went with them to help us organize it and set us up, and we were off and running.
Now that's great. That's actually, Gene, that was the second event I've ever seen live, the first being Shinnecock in 95 when Pavin won. But I remember going to Meadowbrook, and I grew up in Westbury, so it was just a 10-minute drive for my dad, my brother, and I would go for, I think we went for three straight years. But and Gene, right from that, now we jump into, you're also a member at Sabonic, and we have the U.S. Women's Open coming up. And how do you think the women are going to play Sabonic?
Well, I think it'll largely be a question of how they set up the course.
Right.
Greens are, really difficult,
mm-hmm.
and they're severely sloped and undulated and false fronts and all that sort of stuff. And I don't know if they have enough spin to control the ball the way, the men pros do.
Yep.
On some really pinpoint green positions. So I think a lot will depend on, A, how fast the greens are set.
Mm-hmm.
And B, how long they play the course. My understanding is a typical LPGA event is played from about 6,500 yards.
Right.
The majors are more like 68, which is fairly close to the regular men's tees there. And if it's 68 and the greens are fast, you're going to have a tough time.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I was out there on Monday and played it, and it was, it played a little, the greens player were a little soft, but, the course was just outstanding. It was in brilliant condition, and it was so playable, and I'm really looking forward to go out there when the ladies go out there for sure.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. It's it's spectacularly scenic.
Yep.
And it's a great challenge. There's a great variety of holes.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be a great event.
Absolutely. Our guest is former president of the MGA, Gene Bernstein. Gene, thank you. We're going to take a short break. We're going to hear more about your impact on golf on Long Island. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Terry Landscaping is an award-winning designing building landscape firm serving Long Island for over two decades. Located in Brightwaters, we are owner-operated and proud of the superb relationships we maintain with our customers. The services we provide will ensure that all phases of your project will be completed to your satisfaction. Contact us at 631-968-4882. That's 631-968-4882 to learn more about how we can transform your property into something of beauty and lasting value.
It's here at last, golf season. South Shore Golf in Oakdale presents Mega Demo Day on Monday, June 13th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Timber Point Golf Course. You'll have the opportunity to hit new clubs for 2011. TaylorMade, Ping, Titleist, Cobra, Mizuno, Callaway, and Nike. Make sure you get down here for your chance to win a brand new TaylorMade R11 driver. Whether you play golf or you're just learning, how about getting fit for clubs by their professional and certified staff? Also, a PGA trade-in value for used clubs to be applied for new products, so bring those old clubs down. South Shore Golf also specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf, 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
Welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Proud to have in studio AJ Volpel, editor of communications at the Metropolitan Golf Association, and on the line is former MGA president Gene Bernstein. Gene, thank you again for joining us, and want to move on to your work at the MGA. You've been credited with a lot of a transformation of that organization. When you look back on it, what are you most proud of?
Well, a lot of the transformation has been in technology. Mm-hmm. I've gotten the credit, but it really belongs to the staff directed by Jeannie McCooey and the people working with her, because these things were kind of set in motion before I came in as president. I certainly encouraged them and supported them. And I think, they're great additions. We have apps now for the iPhone and other things. We're trying to make it a lot easier to get in touch with the MGA and for the MGA to get in touch with people. It's always been kind of frustrating to me that the golfers in the Met area aren't that familiar with the MGA, and we try to do all sorts of things to make them aware of it and to make them feel like they should support the game and give back to the game. They get so much pleasure from it and so much enjoyment from it. And there's little things they can do, like supporting our foundation or other, things that go on in the area that help promote golf. Because golf's going through a tough time, and we're trying to make sure part of our is to preserve and protect and grow the game. And so that's what we're gearing towards. And it's a new generation of players. We have to be more technologically savvy. On the lighter side, one of my things that I joke around is we finally changed our tie, which was like from the 19th century. And we changed the tie and the logo.
Yep.
But again, Jeannie McCooey did most of that. But she and I worked together, and it was a nice change.
Well, a welcome change, I must say, from someone who's on the receiving end of that. Let me tell you, it's been a pleasure to interact with the new digital MGA, if you will. I'm constantly on the site. I use the app. I really do enjoy this new generation of the MGA, and I think that will help. This new sort of image or rebrand, if you will help help the public interact with the MGA on one level. And you also have a couple of other things. I mean, you have the foundation. You also have MGA play days and stuff like that. That also includes, let's say, some of the non-technically competing amateur, if you will. Correct?
That's absolutely correct. I mean, most of our events are the top amateur players in the area that
right.
might represent, one or two of the 100,000 plus people who are members of the MGA. So we're trying to sort of reach down a little bit more and have events that the average golfer can compete in and enjoy. The Play Days is certainly one of them. We created a Masters division for people over 65 for them to have a tournament. Started last year.
Yep.
And, you know, doing things like that. I think for the younger golfers, the communications changes and AJ's involved with that are, you know, making it more, not only more easy, but more attractive for them. They're used to dealing and communicating that way. And anything that we can do to get the MGA more easily in front of them and more of a benefit and a value, you know, we're all in favor of.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, talking about that Senior Masters tournament, that's going to be a lot of fun this year. I think it's at Apollamis, which is a great, you know, old classic course, and that'll be a lot of fun. But so, Gene, I know you're still going to be heavily involved with the MGA and everything like that, obviously editorial-wise and foundation-wise. But, you know, since, you know, your run of president has ended, what kind of things are you looking forward to now?
Well, as you said, I'll stay very active. I'm on the board of the First Tee, and the past three living presidents of the MGA are on the board as well. I'm the, you know, co-chairman of the editorial committee for the Met Golfer, which I enjoy as a former college English teacher. I kind of enjoy looking at the writing and with that, as well as things we do, helping to pick topics we think will be of interest to the readers. I have a variety of other volunteer civic things that I'm doing. In fact, as I speak to you right now, I'm up in Lenox, Massachusetts. I have a board meeting at 9:30 for Shakespeare and Company.
Excellent.
One of the leading producers of Shakespearean plays, and a great educational organization too that brings in high school kids, and they come in and stay in residency and really get saturated in Shakespeare.
Well, you're a man who wears many hats, Mr. Bernstein. How do you balance all of these things that you do?
Well, you know, you have to. I think mostly it's being able to have good people working with you and around you, and being able to delegate and trust them, and not micromanage, which takes a tremendous amount of time and energy. That's probably the biggest thing. Give people the freedom to utilize their talents and let them run with it. You have to accept the fact that people make mistakes. I make mistakes. But if they're honest mistakes, hopefully they're things you'll learn from and you go on and you get better.
Do you often reflect on all the things that you, I mean, it seems like you're a gentleman who's constantly moving forward and trying to stay ahead of the curve. I think that's one of the attributes I think I like most about you. But when you reflect, when you take time to look back, do you think about all the impact you've had? I mean, there's not too many people, individuals that have had the impact, I think, that you have had reaching out between the Northville Invitational and then the Northville Classic, your work at the First Tee, your work at the MGA. You've touched a lot of lives. There are a lot of people on Long Island, you know, when they tell their sons and daughters, or when they tell stories about seeing Arnold Palmer in his farewell tour at Meadowbrook and seeing Jack Nicklaus or Palmer or Trevino, you know, those are memories that have been inspired basically by your work and the people around you. Do you ever think about that?
Not much. it's stuff I love to do. Every now and then, like towards the end of my tenure at the MGA, I thought back of, you know, some of the things that I was really felt good about that we got accomplished. But and I certainly have a lot of nostalgia for the tournament and bump into people now and then, you know, who were a part of it or who remember it like you do and say, boy, that was some nice thing and I wish we still had it going. You know, it makes you feel good, but I think I get into it at the time because I'm enthusiastic. I believe it's good, and it's helping, and it's a positive thing. And, you know, you don't always know, you know, what the end result's going to be or the outcome is going to be, but you give it the old college try.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Bernstein, for joining us. If you could hold on the line, we're going to take one more commercial break, and we'll wrap things up with you, if that's okay.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit Pete'sGolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
ABC 123 Golf. ABC 123 Golf is a summer program developed by Mike Wade, PGA. ABC 123 Golf offers instruction, practice, and play activities designed to give juniors the necessary knowledge and experience to become lifelong golfers. Improving the playing ability of the junior golfer is our primary objective. In addition, ABC 123 Golf stresses the concept of total youth development throughout the program. Please visit abc123golf.net or call us at 516-385-9294. That's 516-385-9294.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. In studio, A.J. Volpel, editor and communications at the Metropolitan Golf Association. And on the line is former president of the MGA, Gene Bernstein. Gene, you're going to be at Sabonic. What's going to be your role there? Are you going to be doing anything for the Women's Open?
Yeah, I'm a sort of a committee chair for a few of the a few subcommittees under me.
Okay.
They're kind of largely self-sufficient, things like the medical committee. Well, that's really run by the hospital.
Right.
Photography is run by, you know, a few guys. But I'll be there most of the week. I'm basically kind of a, you know, sort of triangular structure. If any of those five or six committee chair people have issues, they get in touch with me, and then I have to try to help solve the problem. But I don't anticipate there being many.
No, I think so,
looking forward to a pleasurable week out there.
Oh, when is it not? I mean, the place is just fantastic. AJ already talked about it, how it's unbelievably scenic the area is. I was fortunate enough to play there myself, and it's just a stunning and inspiring piece of property, without a question.
Mike Pascucci did a phenomenal job.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to believe the course is less than 10 years old.
Yeah, you wouldn't guess that. No, definitely. It seems like it's been there for, as long as the courses that are around it, actually.
Yeah, which I think was one of his goals. I mean, succeeded admirably.
Absolutely. Well, Mr. Bernstein, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show this morning, time out of your busy schedule. I know you, like I said, you're a man who wears many hats, and I appreciate you coming on this morning.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure talking with you, and good luck with the show.
Yeah, absolute pleasure, Gene. Thanks a lot for coming on, and I'm sure I'll see you soon.
Okay, take care.
All right, take care. All right, that was former president of the Metropolitan Golf Association, Mr. Gene Bernstein. AJ, just a phenomenal person when it comes to, in general, but then when you talk about golf on Long Island, it's just amazing the impact that one person's had, and you can tell he's very humble about it. I didn't mean to put him on the spot about that, but he's a part of a lot of memories.
And that's the thing I think a lot of people don't realize is how humble he is.
I mean,
he didn't even want to take credit for really anything, but, you know, when in fact he was really one of the leaders in kind of getting things going, especially with the Northville and, you know, his home club, Meadowbrook. Mm-hmm. But we ask him and he's like, oh, he's never thinks of it, you know, but
right.
It's funny because, right, it just shows what kind of person he is. You know, he's, you know, as much of an individual person he is, he's a huge leader. You know, mm-hmm. he leads people extremely well. He gets nothing but the most respect from his peers. And I know everybody at the MGA is just, you know, nothing but fantastic things to say about him. He's a tremendous man. And it's just a pleasure, you know, I've had such a pleasure just communicating with him the last, you know, year and a half and being sitting in with meetings with him editorial wise and everything. So I've learned a lot from him and it's just an absolute pleasure. He's a gentleman and I'm very, very happy to know him.
And literally a scholar.
Literally.
It's just great. And it takes people like that to make big things happen, especially on Long Island where it's not easy to do these things anywhere. But Long Island, you know, New York, it's very difficult to get things organized. Things don't just happen overnight. There's a lot of red tape. But it takes people like Gene Bernstein to sort of spearhead these types of events and have that way of getting things done.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, how many people on Long Island have resources, but they don't, you know, they don't kind of, you know, follow through. They're kind of just, you know, they sit right. back and kind of, you know, do things themselves. But, you know, Gene had the resources, and he actually, you know, he got a lot of things done. And I think he enjoys it, you know, as he enjoys it. He enjoys seeing people enjoy it, but he enjoys it himself. So it kind of it's self-serving, but it's also for the good of everybody. So
yeah, I think he enjoys the process. Right. I think he enjoys the process of getting things done
Likes
and having
challenge.
A vision
yeah.
and having a vision, an inspired vision, and executing that and seeing come to fruition.
Right.
I think that's what he enjoys. It seems a lot of.
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
What's next for the MGA? What do you got coming up? It's important. I know you just got done with the Ike qualifier
yep.
over at, well, that was out east, right? Southampton? St. George.
And Southampton, you're right.
Okay.
And Southampton, we have one more Ike qualifier on Wednesday, and that's the final. We had five total.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Ike will be at the end of June, but the biggest event and one of the biggest events of the season is the U.S. Open
sectional right.
which is at Old Oaks and Century, and that's on June 3rd, Monday. You know, anybody who wants to check out some unbelievable golf action could come out and check it out. The media will be stationed at Century, but I'm sure I'll be bouncing around all mm-hmm. the communications guys. But we'll also have live scoring for every single group, which mm-hmm. is the first time that we're doing that. So all 40 groups, there's 40 total groups. So you know, every group will. You know, if you can't make it, you could watch on the computer, live scoring every hole.
Yeah.
And my colleague, Jim Landers, is kind of spearheading that, which is really good. Yeah, he's a great technology guy. But, so that's the biggest event we've been prepping for the last, you know, week and a half. Getting press books ready, getting the press release ready, and that's going to be so much fun. We can't wait for that.
That, I have to say, with the transformation of the MGA that we talked about with Gene, I think, you know, I don't know, I don't follow everything that all the app mentions that the MGA gets on Twitter, but
right.
For me, that's one of the biggest things that I enjoy. I don't have that kind of access all day long during the week. So I'm constantly on my breaks or whatever, checking Twitter for,
yeah.
you know,
oh, yeah.
going through your feed, because for me, it's important because I like to be in touch. I don't know how many, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of other people like me.
Yep.
So when you talk about that digital transformation, this has been the most important, because I like knowing what's going on. And when it's going on.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So,
and it's important for us to kind of get up to date, you know, I like to do photos and everything, and we like to, you know, we like to keep our membership and people that are interested in the MGA informed, and that's one thing that social media has brought to the table, so we're stoked about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, great show today. Thank you, AJ, for coming in, taking the time of coming in this morning. It was a real pleasure to talk to you and Gene.
Absolutely.
At the MGA, past president. Just wonderful person, and just really one of the highlights of this show is getting to talk to people like Gene Bernstein. So, folks, I don't know how much golf you're going to play this weekend, but I hope you enjoy your Memorial Day and certainly take the time to think of those who have served our country and some of the people that you may have known or may not known. But it's always good to think of the people who have gave the ultimate sacrifice for our country. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Take care, everybody.